is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I'm from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break telling grieve me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I'm from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fine,
good night, Bahamas, and welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City. That will mass every Friday, except holidays, on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. I'm the host of the show, Inside the Inner City. My name, Valentino Braun, alias, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge or Daddy or Governor. And it's just a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful station and express myself with the knowledge and the experience that I have experienced over the years of living inside the inner city and being connected to the top politicians in the country and knowing some of the most powerful set of people in the country. I have been privileged to have a very privileged life, you know, I came from nothing, but I end up and continuing to wake my way up in life, and I only want to see the best for my fellow citizens in the country. And tonight on the Inside Inner City, we're going to talk about some of the initiatives that we talk about on the show that are actually happening in the country. I just want people to know that many people feel you have to go into politics to make a change. But I just want them to know that I have been involved for many years with some of the greatest leaders in the history of the country, and even sitting on the side of them, you know, they still didn't push the initiative the way they were supposed to push the initiative to really, really benefit the people the way it was supposed to benefit the people. So in a way, I still respected them. I took their advice, I listened to them, and I continued my journey as to give solutions. But at the same time, in my small community of Grunston, where I live in the Lewis Daly Street area, I try my best to apply what I preach. So in other words, I'm talking to them, but I'm also doing it in my small community to make like a pilot project so that we could see the success of the program. I've been doing it going on close to 25, 30 years. Can't tell you about the programs that I have been involved with, how many people I've met from so much distinguished backgrounds in this country who also contributed to my success and also the success of the country. So today's show, we want to talk about the solutions that we put forward, and then we can talk about the good part. Then we also want to talk about the second part of the show, where we're going to talk about the recent ruling on murder by manslaughter. This was the case just a few days ago, the Ann Shugan rule, murder by manslaughter. And if you notice over the past few years, 2-3 years now, we have had a lot of police officers being charged with Shugan rule, murder by manslaughter. And this gave us an insight of actually what's going on in our country and how we're going to correct it. I must give my utmost respect to new Commissioner Shante Knowles for a very tough task. You know, some things that she's accustomed to, she's going to have to break out in order to change this country in the right direction. There's some things she's going to do in the Royal Bahamas Police Force that might be uncharacteristic to the new officers, because with this new ruling, we had some officers who feel this grumble of this ruling. Like, okay, now we're seeing so many of our fellow officers getting charged for offenses. They feel disgruntled by the rulings of the coroner's court, which can also be turned into a criminal case. Depends on the ruling, depends on how far the coroner's court is going to turn this matter over to the attorney general, and if the attorney general is actually going to prosecute these particular cases. Because what we need to understand, the coroner's court don't have the power to prosecute nobody, but they gather the evidence, they give their ruling, and they pass it on to the attorney general, and the attorney general decides that the matter has to go to court. So if there's wrongdoing with officers involved in killing innocent Bahamian people, planting the evidence, why would some officers feel disgruntled? Because now their immunity has been taken away. And there are a lot of great officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force who are not in this position as many of these other officers, who are not thinking as these other officers are thinking. Because remember, I was reading clearly, and they said some officers are disgruntled. There are officers who are disgruntled, a lot of officers who are involved in these illegal activities. And now that they see that, you know, you as an inspector, you as a sergeant who had immunity can now be put before the tribunal of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Now you can also be put before the coroner's court. Now your matter can be transferred to a criminal court based on the evidence gathered by the coroner's court. And if the AG wants to get rid of corruption, because it seems that a lot of these rulings have gone in favor of the victim who have lost their life based on the evidence. So if Ben Monroe said that the police is going to investigate and they ain't going to show no scrutiny, okay, towards these matters, then the police now investigating officers based on evidence and the coroner's court, and now they have decided, based on a jury who was before the coroner's court, have decided that this person who was killed in the line of a shooting that involves police has now been declassified as a murder by homicide, meaning that the officers themselves are responsible for taking the life of an innocent person. That means they were wrong. And we have so many cases like that in the country over the last period. So what we're seeing now is that the commissioner, based on this last ruling, who I think she has the balls, excuse my language, to do things that other officers couldn't do. And it could be because of the pressure. And what has happened now, she has said our police may be given non-lethal weapons based on the fact that police shoot to kill in Arsenal Providence, based on the fact that many of these cases that have been investigated, the police are in the wrong, means that they take innocent life. And then we have, like what she said, like what the commissioner said, and she and her being the commissioner has to say something to the public, which is not necessarily true. You know, she said that police would never tamper with evidence. Well, before I start the show, I would just like to say this to the commissioner of police. If police never tampered with the evidence, commissioner, I understand that you are uncharted territory. And you are doing the best that you can. And you know that you would offend some officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Because even though you were the senior cop in the force, doesn't mean all the police officers respect you and what you're doing. Okay, I just want you to know that. And like I said, many of them don't like what you're doing. But you are actually doing the right thing, because it is the right thing to do in the country. You know, so I'd like to give a thumbs up to Ms. Knowles and to many of the officers who feel that they are being threatened now because they are being persecuted, and they feel that their immunity has been taken away. If you do the right thing as an officer, you respect human rights, you do your job as you're supposed to do as a police officer, you wouldn't be in a position. And going back to what I'm saying, she said that she insists that police officers do not interfere or manipulate the investigation. That can be further from the truth, ma'am, because if we look at the case going with Johnson, and we heard the voice note recording, it shows you where evidence was going to be tampered with. So even your best interest to defend, many officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, in a practice that has been going on for many, many years, where officers do fabricate the evidence to get a conviction, is true. Because there's a recording with former officers telling ex-officers how we send a lot of innocent people to jail and we don't do proper investigation. Well, if we go back to the voice note with Johnson, you would see those who were involved, or at least I can't say they were involved because they did not got brought guilty, because none of them made it to court. You know, all of them got killed. And you, on the voice note, you would see someone who was involved with armed robbery talking to a senior police investigator who was in charge of the criminal investigation department. And in the voice note, that individual was being questioned by a senior police officer who's supposed to be upholding the law, who's supposed to be setting people who are guilty or have evidence against people who are guilty to court, wanted to take a bribe to release those individuals who were accused of armed robbery. So, Ms. Knowles, you got to be very careful on how you speak about matters when we have credible evidence of past senior officers in the Royal Bahamas Police Force who themselves were willing to take $100,000 to discard evidence that could have convicted them of armed robbery in the country. So for you to say things like that and try to persuade the BMN people, we don't forget. And now you're doing a good job. But that defending part, ma'am, you got to be very careful about that, because the evidence is right there. The proof is in the pudding. The evidence is there for everyone to see. So, ma'am, do not say police do not tamper with evidence. They do, because it's there with Johnson. Okay? It's there with Curtis. Okay? So I want to start the show off on a positive note. I just want to get it. I started early, and that's going to be on our second half of the show. I started early, but I'm going to play the first clip of what happened in the community of BNN Stand, because I want to give a shout out also to Minister Wade Watson, who hands are full. He is having a back to school starting tomorrow on McPherson Park. We call Hay Street Park. So I'm asking residents from the neighboring community of being in Grandstand to please come out and not support. This could save you a lot of money. You don't need to buy no books. You don't need to buy no pen and pencils and stuff like that. Backpacks. This could save you a lot of expenses. The minister in charge of the area is Minister Watson. He will be having a back-to-school giveaway tomorrow on McPherson Park, which is Hay Street Park, which is situated in Grandstand. So please, I think they're going to be out from around about 3 to 5. They're going to be out from 3 to 5. So please, all the kids, come out. Hay Street, McPherson Park. This will save you a lot of expenses, book, pens, and etc. This is Minister Wade Watson, the representative for Bain and Grunstein, who is looking to be reelected for Bain and Grunstein. I don't know how successful he's going to be, but we also got to give a shout out to what he's doing to assist the people in the city community. We have to give him a thumbs up for that. So tomorrow again, 3 o'clock to 5, Hay Street Ballpark, McPherson Park, Hay Street. I'll be in attendance. There'll be drinks, hot dog, popcorn, and I think they'll be cutting hairs out there as well. I'm not too sure, but I know that they're going to be eating drinks in a lot of backpacks and books and pens. So please come out. McPherson Park, 3 to 5 tomorrow. But we're going to play the art in respect to the minister of the community, because as a community leader, anything that's happening in the community, I have to be a part of. I have to give the information or be a part of it, because anytime you're a community leader, you want to see the best. So any programs that any government or any organization or any entity wants to give back, my job is not to pick side. I can't be on the PLB side. I can't be on the FNM side. I can't even be on my side and take my opinion. My job is to just bring the help that is being provided with whoever sends the help. I have to receive it and distribute it. So we're going to play the clip for the people of the Grunstein community.
God was a friend, I'm lucky like that. Coming out of life like sneaking out of grass. One with your fitness.
Good afternoon, Grunstein. We're in Bain and Grunstein again. We're in polling division number 2, down on the Grunstein side right here on Lewis Street. And what we're doing today is we have a pop-up back to school on Saturday at 3 o'clock on the McPherson Park, on the H Street Park. That's what we call it. We have bags, giveaway, we have treats, we have games, we have a lot of fun this Saturday. And we want all of our constituency members, especially in polling division 2, 7, and 8, in this immediate area 9, we want all them to come out and be a part of what we're doing today. Because listen, it's for you, being a grandson, and for the parents and the kids in this area. That's what we're doing.
Before my league, could I tell you about me? Good people, it's good people. We only on love.
Well, every man make the choices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I say we make sacrifices.
Right back.
Well, I don't have time to beef.
Yes, tomorrow evening, 3 to 5. McPherson Park, we call it Hay Street Park. That was given to the people of Grunstein. By a community leader in order to establish a park. So please come out. Remember, this is free for all the residents of Polling Division 2 and other polling division for the community. But it's not for the PLB, it's not for the FNM. Even though that's how politics goes. But it's for all Bahamians. So please come out, get your backpacks, bring your kids out, and bring them out. Bring your kids out. Don't say you have one kid at home and you have bikes. Bring the kids out. Okay? Bring the kids out so that we can give a count for the bikes and make sure that we ourselves are not getting greedy, because we have some bad ways. Poverty makes us selfish, where we get greedy, you know, because of the struggle, you know, and then you want to. I want this bag and I want this bag and I want this bag for my kids. Come on, people, listen, man. Yes, we are owed something, right? But sometimes just accept what we have and be appreciative, you know, and not to be big eye and be petty, okay? Because even though the help has come, some of us still get some stinking ways, because the poverty has completely takes away our humility. And we just ask, some of us just ask, boy, I ain't gonna say it no more. But anyway, that's the announcement. 3 to 5 tomorrow, Hay Street Park. The minister also would be out. There'll be a lot of people out there assisting as well. I want to give a shout out to my good friend Elroy and Omar. Omar owns a ping company on Wolf Road. You know what I mean? Good guy. Sponsored me. Last year for the basketball tournament, so I want to give a shout out to Omar and bless up to Elroy Bryce, my good friend. And now we're going to play the second clip. That's the second clip? Okay, let's go with the second clip.
It's on Monday as he inspected ongoing work at the water tower in Fort Fincastle. Mr. Davis announcing that his government has granted land that will serve as a new campus for the Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute.
The new BTVI campus is a down payment on fairness. It is part of our broader push to train more Bahamians faster and better.
Mr. Davis says the construction of this new campus, whose details...
Gekare. I'm very sorry about that. Something wrong with the clip. But I can explain this the best way possible. They're repairing the water tower to up tourist attraction, which I think is a great idea. Maintenance is always a problem. I don't understand why the water tower, why the Clarence A. Bean building, why the post office, which has been demolished, the Clarence A. Bean building was demolished as well. What is the problem with us maintaining? Just recently we repaired the sports center. What is wrong with our government institute? Why they don't have a maintenance program to make sure that these structures can last for at least 100 years or even 200 years based on if you have maintenance? I just don't understand it. Mason, maintenance is very important in the country. So let me explain. The Prime Minister is talking about the work being done at the Fort Finn Castle, which I think can be turned into a tourist, which is a tourist attraction. Under the former administration and member of parliament, Donnie Johnson, we did some work together where we gave them an idea on what needs to be done by the fort. And Donnie Johnson went and put some stalls up there. And the tourists were visiting the forts and stuff like that. And there were many vendors who were benefiting greatly from that initiative of those stalls that Donnie Johnson made happen on Fort Finn Castle. And I think they was making $1.7 million a year. So you had coconut guys out there, you had people selling T-shirts, you had people out there who were doing different tourist-oriented business, and they became very successful because of the volume of tourists that were visiting Fort Finn Castle. And we also heard the Prime Minister talk about the new BTVI campus. You know, you heard it first from us. You know, we've been preaching this. We are saying the Bahamas has outgrown BTVI. We have outgrown the hospital. We have outgrown the post office. We have even outgrown police headquarters where we need additional departments built for the Royal Bahamas Police Force. We also know that we need extension of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force to be deployed on those family islands to build small bases where we could have some of these Defense Force officers deployed in order to stop the illegal migration of illegal immigrants coming in from around the world, especially from Haiti, Dominican Republic, and et cetera. And you know that, excuse me. Yes. And Dominican Republic. And we always have to keep thinking out the box to look at the growth of the Bahamas. And like I said, we have outgrown those two. So we have to expand by doing pilot project extensions, like I said, Defense Force in Nagua, Andres, Chad Island, just small deployments of small groups of Defense Force officers. It could be 15, 20 with their vessel. And they have a coordinated channel of information and technology that they can share so that the response time can be on time. Yeah, so the Prime Minister talked about BTVI being established because the Contract Association said that we had a lot of unskilled workers in the country. And I've been saying this for years, why not have BTVI expanded in the neighboring communities, and we also pay the kids and students who attend because of the fact that they are poor and they're not going to pay attention to go into classes if they're hungry, they don't have no incentive. So I'm saying with the taxpayers' money that we pay as Bahamians, Why not let's use some of that and pay the kids to go to BTVI so they can learn plumbing, farming, electrical, air condition, whatever you need to optimize the demand for skilled workers in the country. So that's one of the reasons I also said we should put BTVI in each community if we could. So I see the Prime Minister and the government is taking the stance. So they listen to what we have to say because it makes sense. And also we said about paying kids who attend, because paying them would bring their attendance up and they would come to classes. They would learn the skill, knowing that they're getting a small snipe into learning. So now that they don't have to worry about going home hungry. They don't have to worry about catching the bus to go to BTVI if it's all government night and et cetera. So they'd be more comfortable knowing that they get a salary and they're learning more because we have to inspire them. And it's our money as taxpayers. So why not let's do it in a positive way instead of us giving this money away to racist of money. Let's take our taxpayers' money, invest it back in our kids, and then we're going to see a greater reward because now they're getting paid and they're going to concentrate more because now they're going back home, they get a little small check for coming to class for only probably $150, $200. They get a gift certificate to go to Super Value. You know, they might have a gift certificate to go to Bomsey as well to get some healthy fruits and vegetables. So this combined together will take the pressure off us. So in a 20-year period, if we keep this up and we keep expanding BTVI and these government contracts that are given out to party officials or people or family, friends, and lovers, instead of us giving it to them all the time, we could sub some of these contracts. And these guys who go to BTVI who are looking for the opportunity, we could sub some of these contracts to them and let them become thousandaires and then let them teach the next generation like what Buddy Hill is doing. So we're going to take one or two calls and then we're going to continue the conversation. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, good afternoon, Scurvy.
Good afternoon to you.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
You're talking about crime and corruption, right?
Not really. I'm talking about the initiative the government started with the BTVI, building a new BTVI, the government high complex, and giving the students who go there a sniping. But we're also talking about the police and how Shante knows say we're going to give them non-lethal weapons based on the fact of the ruling by the coroner's court on how many people police officers were charged in the coroner's court, but now it'll be going to the AG to see if it could be criminal charges. And based on the charges, it seems that a lot of the cases deal with murder by manslaughter by officers of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So we're talking about that.
And that's it. You're not talking in general? Because, I mean, you're speaking a part of your mind, eh?
Yeah, I mean, I'm having a conversation that really is really important because I'm knocking the positive and I'm also knocking the negative with the Royal Bahamas Police Force, but also the problem what Ms. Knowles is doing to try, and because it's a hard pill to swallow the position she in, because some things have been going on. Why she was an officer, she cannot turn her back on her no more. She has to make major decisions.
But Scrooge,
go ahead.
Keep on flashing in my mind, right? You remember my people 5 months ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Bahamas there was used to basically carry $100,000 from some of the flight attendants took $100,000 to Haiti, and they were caught by the Haitian police. They escaped onto Bahamas there, ran out of Bahamas there, and that's the end of it. I mean, what's going on?
Well, like again,
that's our national airways, man.
Listen, I'm going to say this. We had corruption going on with our airlines, as well as the Royal Bahamas Police Force. We have to admit that. The evidence is there to prove that. So what you're saying is actually true.
So it's international corruption.
Yes, because you got to understand now, we the Bahamas has integrated a lot of different nationality. We have Greeks over here, we have Chinese over here, we have Indians over here, and the majority of us are Haitian nationals and Bahamians who are living here.
What do you mean?
The majority of the people who live inside the country are basically Haitian nationals and BMA. Okay. Yeah, in the city community. We are the majority.
So what really is happening is why we are not hearing about who the persons are, those two individuals who went into Haiti, who could speak Creole. They're not Haitian.
So you're talking about Luby George?
No, I'm talking about the $100,000 that two Bahamian.
Yeah, I heard about it. That was last year.
These persons, they ain't like a passenger who would go on the plane and we could try to find that one. These are individuals who work for the Bahamas government.
Yeah.
Right? And they escaped from Haitian police.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamas government, we have law and order, law enforcement. But these two individuals, they're unknown, their names, they're free. What's going on in there, man?
Why?
What's going on? What kind of image are they trying to project?
It goes like this. I told you, Ms. Knowles, who just got elected as new commissioner of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, she got a hands full, buddy. Listen to me. Some serious stuff is going on in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and she has a major decision she's going to have to make. Because like I tell you this, corruption goes deep. Not all officers, but it goes deep.
All right,
just let me give you a prime example. Just look at the last 3 years. How many senior officers are being charged with serious indictable offenses in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas?
A whole lot.
Okay, then. So if you now, it's the commissioner right now, knowing that these officers had immunity, knowing that they were protected by the Royal Bahamas Police Force, that's what they were doing. Now you know you have to break that out now because the evidence is out to the pudding now because based on how Curtis got locked up in an international smuggling ring of drugs and firearms. So now Ms. Knowles get replaced. She replaced Clayton Fernando, who, as commissioner, he failed under commodore of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, under commodore of the immigration. Three high officials got fired in the country in the last 4 years. It shows you the corruption that is going on in our country. Not all officers, but in all departments. You understand what I'm saying to you? This is the first time in the history of the country where we're getting inspectors and superintendent getting released off the Royal Bahamas Police Force.
Hey, but Ruji, I think I'm out, Ms. Knowles, right? But you got to understand the pressure she's under because...
That's what I'm saying to you now.
It isn't just local pressure.
No, it's international.
It's about the police, right?
It's international. It's the FBI. Okay, it's about the FBI. Good. It's about border control. It's tobacco and border control as well.
Yeah.
It's a couple of U.S. agency, not just the FBI, tobacco and firearms. And then you have an ex organization in there. Even ICE is working along right now.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
Hey.
If the police inspectors could be locked up for doing basically, like I say, what do you call it? You call it murder by employment or something like
that? Murder by manslaughter.
Okay. But they can be charged, right?
Hopefully, on the judgment of the coroner's court, they pass the matter on to the AG. It's up now to the AG if she's going to pass it on to the courts.
That goes to show no one is above the law, right?
No, they're sharing it now. Right, people were above the law. But now we head in the direction where we're trying to take that off the book now. So we're heading the right. It's slow. We'll be heading the right direction. So Shante knows she hands full and she has some tough decisions to make. Boy. Commissioner.
If the police officers can be brought before the court for their corruption, right?
Yes, sir.
Why is it that those Bahamas there, flight attendants, are still roaming the streets?
I'm trying to explain to you, the corruption was vast. Who was in charge of the international airport at that time? It's Curtis, right? It was Curtis who was in charge. The district.
No. He was in America when this happened.
He was in America. But that's still on this watch. Wherever this happened, even if he was in America, what makes you think it ain't possible?
No. How could it be under his watch when America have him incarcerated?
No, what I'm saying to you, you still don't understand what I'm trying to show you. Corruption don't go to one place. And how you teach other officers? You don't think you teach other officers?
Yeah, but these
But listen again. When I was a gangster on the streets, how many other guys I teach how to shoot gun, to juke people up, and to do all this stuff? It's no difference. Yeah. It's no difference, buddy.
Yeah.
It's no difference. I teach guys. Rudy? Yeah.
Rudy, what I'm just trying to say to you is, you saying the police. I move on to Bahamas, man.
Oh, listen, you understand? I'm saying you. Who in charge of the airport? The police. So the police knows exactly what's going on with Bahamas Air. How you know all this ain't tying into one? I'm trying to show you. You got to think with the box, my brother. You looking at Bahamas Air. I'm trying to tell you, what if all this was all in cahoots together?
Yeah, but Bahamas there, they work under the FDA and all that.
So what that's supposed to mean, and drugs is coming in all under the FDA? Guns?
Yeah, but then you know what? The FDA, they corruption and drugs and stuff, like money laundering and stuff. Those places, they ground them, man.
Buddy, listen
until
to me.
Until they get resolved, man. That's like,
don't
go back up in the air.
Buddy, listen to me. And you see the police officers, and you see the officers who pictures. And you see the officers where they show, when the FBI show on Facebook, they show you how certain officers was walking through the airport with bags of drugs? Huh?
Yeah.
So, in the U.S. had that, and they used that recently. So, they was under surveillance for a long time. That's what I'm trying to tell you. All this is connected. Don't care how you put it.
All this connected. Why still flying?
Oh, you could stop the national line because two people...
Because when you get... Planes and stuff caught up in drugs and money laundering and stuff and things. There's something they'll be grounded and certain things because I mean
they was grounded.
Grounded and better persons who
we have jurisdiction. Everybody, listen to me. We have jurisdiction. Yes, the U.S. could have evidence, but we have still have jurisdiction over the Bahamas. Who is in charge of jurisdiction in the Bahamas? The Royal Bahamas Police Force. Okay. We all have our jurisdiction.
The U.S. The flight attendants, right? The Bahamian who Bahamas were employed. Who are Haitian descent, who came back, who ran away from the Haitian, who got away from the Haitian authorities, came to Nassau, the Bahamian, is no Interpol. Bahamian police allow these two individuals to just come into the land as they allow all of these illegal migrants when they just to be roaming about.
To police short.
Roaming.
The police short hand, they need 2,000 officers as we speak right now. They're saying a lot of people who want to apply for the police force are unqualified. They're undermanned, buddy.
H2G.
I guess I'm about to call us, man. I guess I'm about to call us. I guess I'm about to call us in line.
Yeah, I'll be off right now. The police say they're undermanned, right?
Yeah.
Right? Don't you think the prime minister know what the commissioner has in her head? Every morning they got up like their meeting to discuss what's going on.
Yeah, every Thursday they meet. Every Thursday.
Hey, listen here.
I got to go. I got a couple other people, man. But talk quick.
Yeah, no, all I'm saying is, you know, when it comes to law and order,
mm-hmm.
no one is above the law. If it's Bahamas there, and they do their
buddy.
Corruption. But
there's
no law, man.
Buddy, hold on, listen.
That's not supposed to be grounded.
Hold on. Listen to me. See, you still ain't getting it. You still ain't getting it right. If the country corrupt, how the plane can be grounded? If the people who in charge of grounding the plane corrupt? Huh? You ain't listening. Let's go deep. And so I'm trying to explain to you. But see, my brother, you was a smart man. You was your common sense. You think all those incidents at the airport, someone get killed by the airport, armed robbery going on by the airport. This thing you're talking about happened by the airport. No one got arrested. Murder going on by the airport. Armed robbery going by the arrested. No camera footage. Who in charge of the station? Then we listen to the same person in charge of the airport. It's the one now getting charged with indictable offenses from the U.S. government who is being investigated for all these years. So I'm trying to show you, think out the box, my brother. So the people who are in charge of grounding in or giving the information or et cetera, it get lost. Just like how you want me to give you a prime example, caller? Let me go on this. You remember when the former prime minister, Hubert Alexander Minnis, got pressured after he signed or understand the memorandum. The press looked at the sign in and said that this ain't the right executive who signed in the memorandum of understanding. What did Dr. Hubert Minnis come and say after that? He said, the file gone missing. Now, how in the world, we as a government, right? Listen, Carla, what I'm trying to tell you. We as a government, we supposed to be sophisticated, the latest technology. How in the world could a file go missing with the prime minister's office and the prime minister tell us that? So what goes to tell you again? If the people at the top corrupt, they can do what they want. Despite we supposed to be grounding Bahamas there or whatever, that ain't gonna happen because the people who's corrupt, who's in charge of these organizations, everyone probably was getting their cut. Simple as that. We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hello.
Hey, good night, good night.
Yeah, Scooch.
Hey.
Who's the biggest drug dealer ever in the Bahamas?
The biggest drug dealer ever in the Bahamas. We can say Samuel, 90 notes, but there's still someone bigger than him. But let's say...
All right, so who was his lawyer?
Philip Brave Davis.
All right, who, come on, the Attorney General, who are you paying the criminals to? So, come on, how does them people become a prime minister? You know what I mean? Supposed to prosecute, it's supposed to be prime ministers and politicians. But okay, watch this. Watch this now. You see how Donald Trump them dealing with the guy from Venezuela?
Yes.
Okay. They send warships there.
Yeah.
So, come on now. We know that our officers and the man is, you know, the man in drugs. Come on, Lou. You understand what I'm saying? Why? You know why I ain't doing the same thing, yeah? Because they puppets. Whatever he say, do they got they doing? That's why I ain't ever come for them. You understand me? Hello?
You talking.
So, you know, I want to touch on that construction thing, right? You see where BTVI is? You know how old that building is?
I already know how old it is.
Good. That building, that technical training college of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
That building 50 years old, bro.
But they got to start at something, yeah?
You understand me? And when that was technical training college, the training they had was international city in Gillsboro. Though that was no rinky dink to do.
So
you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
where kids come from places like R&B, the government schools, and they went straight into that. So BTVI ain't no new thing, bro.
No, I'm not saying it's a new thing, but the skills wasn't reaching a lot of people and still ain't reaching a lot of people. What I'm saying to you, if we have a lot of disposal, where people in their respective community and we have more of them paying people, not the paying part. Listen, see, these are things I suggest, you know. See, I'm a strategist.
See,
I'm looking
at me. These kids are dead, bro.
No, listen.
They
said.
I know.
I know. It's time change. You can't. These kids nowadays ain't got nothing, buddy. I mean, we ain't had nothing back in the day, but these kids now ain't got nothing. Some of them ain't got no mother, ain't got no parents. They ain't nothing happening for them. You don't think a little incentive for them to come to classes to learn a plumbing, electrician, the richest their taxpayers' money, which we pay in anyway. You don't think that could boost them up to come there to do the job, to learn the trade even more better?
Realize that school was more equipped back in the day. They did things like mechanical.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's why I said bring it back.
Serious things.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
You know what I mean?
Bring it back and all around all the schools.
They've trained people for what's the name of that place? Boko and Ding, bro?
Of course. I'm saying bring it back at full scale and now they're getting paid. You got to get.
So let me show you something else. Remember, you talk about the Contractors Association, not
yes,
the union, you know.
Yeah, well, listen.
You understand me?
Yes,
watch
yes.
this. Remember you also talk about the non-skilled workers, the laborers. You can't do construction without the laborers.
Yeah.
And they get laborers, foreign laborers in the Bahamas and sending ghetto youth to jail, bro.
Yes, that's why we gone wrong, buddy. Look at the judge.
Only the prime minister talking about the school and thing. He ain't talking about the laborers, these people, the masons. If a mason need a labor, bro, the labor ain't got to be skilled. The carpenter on the roof, he ain't going on the roof to shingle. He need a labor for that.
Yes, of course.
And it's hard. And you know what's going on, dude? They don't want to pay these youths. They find all excuse in the world not to pay these youths to labor.
Well, they have to now. The prime minister, I'm not taking it for the prime minister. I'm telling you, I'm a solutionist. I know.
Right.
I'm a solutionist. I'm saying, and I'm glad they're taking advice. I'm saying this is the step in the right direction. They're going to be paid now, brother.
But paying people to go to school. I don't know, when the labor, so ain't never been to school, going to cut. You can't do it without them.
Well, but these same skills,
working in the food store. They need to be paid to. They don't want to pay these people a livable
wage. I agree.
And these jobs have to be done.
I agree on everything you're saying, but we have to start. We starting late, but we have to start somewhere.
They need to go in parliament. They need to stay paid. They done.
Who need to go in parliament? Who need to go in parliament?
They need to go and do legislative, what do you call it, livable wage legislation. They need to go do income tax. They need to go what you call it, you know, if they talk about inheritance tax, you know, the people in the state.
Uh-huh.
These people who live in millions, multi-millions, I mean, 50 million city farm and things, who ain't ever worked for, these people ain't worked for that. They live in it to their children and things. You understand me? So they don't want to be toxic them these wealth, you know what I'm saying? But they want to tax you. The little bit of money you making, they want to tax you, but they don't want to tax the people who ain't wake for these, who inheriting these things.
Why? All I can do.
That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, all I can say is we have the just try and scrambling the family values.
It ain't me and you, you know. It's the government, boy. Tell you they bowing. That's why they ain't locked up yet, because they bowing. Well tax. You know, if you die and live, right? Like $100 million mm-hmm. in assets. Come on, man. Over $50 million of them supposed to go back to the people. At least $50 million.
Boy, you look like you won't get killed. You talking, trying to go. You look
money
like
begets money. Money go where money lie, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So don't believe I'm multi-millionaire. You ain't getting none of that.
Man, that's
okay. One more thing before I go.
Okay.
Your money and your wad and all your money that billionaire puts, right? Roads and things. But they see multi-millionaires to ride their truck and go
what, boss?
Away.
Who the multi-millionaires? Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. What multi-millionaire you talking about?
You understand me?
Which set of people, when you say multi-millionaires, who said...
No,
I don't know. I mean, I have an idea, but what you saying? Who are you referring to? Who are you referring to?
The three course? What's the name? What the guy named the black one to Sebas and them?
Uh-huh.
Black and white. We know the build.
Okay. Now you're making some sense. I want to see where it's going to come from.
They want you. And they won't pay livable wage. They won't carry all the money home and tax you. But you can't tax them. You understand me? They want to say, they work for this. They work for this. For that. You understand me?
I can't
do it out there. You may on the road, say you will.
Well, yeah, I know. Anyway, I have some other callers. You made some valid points, you know. Call, I know you're there, but listen to me, brother. Every man got to go there and try to do something. You know, you're talking with Sebas. Listen, Sebas come from nothing, my brother. Sebas is my cousin, you know, and I never been to see him as yet. Okay? He's my cousin. And I'm never going to see him yet because what he achieved for him and his family, and he helped. How many people Sebas has helped? See, let me just give you a prime example. Sebas came from nothing. Okay? And that's my cousin. All right? I have never gone to Sebas, even though that's my cousin. Okay? He's the Bastian. My grandmother was the Bastian. And I'm a brand and all our family through Taylor Street. And that's my cousin. I respect a man who go out there and make something more than nothing. But he's give back. You understand? He trained, and he took a chance, you know? And there are as well as a lot of rich other people out there. That's their business on how they get rich. You understand? They had to start from something. And you're talking about passing on the belt. Every behemoth supposed to pass on the wealth in the country, you know. So is every man or every woman that has a child should go out there and try to establish themselves where they can leave a house to make it easier for their children. There's nothing wrong with that. And I understand where the caller coming from, saying that they're getting so much money, but you never know. You never know what these people have to do for their money. You know, I'm never going to judge anybody because they're rich. I'm going to judge somebody I know they're rich, but they also could do some things that can trickle down to help others. I respect that. Like what Buddy is doing. Buddy is a millionaire, and he has a camp. Do you think he's going to spend $1 million on his camp when he comes to the Bahamas? He has 28 kids there to his camp. Do you think he's going to spend $1 million when he comes to the Bahamas on those kids? No, he's not going to. He might spend $50,000 to $100,000 on these kids. He can't spend all his wealth. But what he's going to produce for those 28 students there is going to be one of those students or two or three of those guys are going to be professional NBA players, and they're going to make way more money than Buddy. And then they're going to start a program, just like what Buddy did, and they're going to help more kids, and you know what I mean? So it's going to trickle down and trickle down and trickle down. That's what we need. You know, we can't judge somebody because they're rich. We don't know what they had to do to get it. You know, some people start off with nothing. Miss Elaine Pendler, who owned Bamboo Shock, she started right on Nassau Street with two deep fryers. Now she has Bamboo Shock, not only here in Nassau, but in America and looking to go to China. Beauty Bakery, which is a multi-million-dollar business. I watched that from a little boy. Started off with one small little section of bread. Now, they're making up close to over $600 million a year. So you start from small, you know, but I also say you got to trickle down. Callers, I'm sorry to talk so long. Go ahead, callers. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Scoogey.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, that last caller, talking about the route back. That's an idea that has to be legislated. And, you know, ain't nothing wrong with that, but they have the political will to go to Parliament to do something like that.
Mm.
Now, ain't none of them gone into politics to talk about getting rich the way they do, you know what I mean? And then they say they can tax themselves after they then fleece the Treasury and cut whatever deals they go on there for, right?
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So if whoever you send there, you think they can go there and they go on there with a, they go on there with a purpose.
Yes.
And everybody comes from nothing. You talk about the bar, flowers. I go up on the flower since I was like three, four years old on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
He come from nothing.
Yes.
You know, Fox come from nothing.
Yes.
Fox nephew.
Yes. All the poor guys who took a chance.
Fox nephew. What the boy name? The bright boy who married Leslie Miller.
Okay.
Okay, they come from nothing. Shane Gibson came from nothing. We all go up on, you know, on the golf course and everything. But that's how they want it. When they get into this politics thing in this country, people don't understand. They go under the say, they go under serve, but they going to serve would fall off the table.
Yes, sir.
Because what on top of the table, they eating.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir. Okay. Tax free. Go ahead, sir.
And the caller before that one, who was talking about the stories or them who dropped $100,000 in Haiti. How them people let her get back on the plane? Huh? Obviously, they didn't have interested in keeping her. What do you think they do with $100,000 in Haiti? And whoever sent them there, you was trying to tell that caller, man, you think he talking about ground in the plane? Grounding Bahamas there in Haiti? Okay. Our Bahamian boy says, just shot up. We ain't going to report from Freddie from Fox yet. Right?
Yes.
And they dead.
Uh-huh.
Now, like people say, we just roll the red carpet out and talk about we xenophobic about Haitians.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they being around here, but we are tolerating foolishness.
Yes, sir.
So when you talk about grounding the plane, Thomas, their operation ain't put that money on the plane.
No.
And you said something too. Sam, use your common sense. If corruption comes from the top, you understand? You think the authorities don't know
what's going on.
Whoever they accuse for carrying that money to Haiti, you think they really don't know, but the whole Bahamas Day operation ain't responsible for that.
No, sir.
And that king here. You all talk about the federal case, right?
Yes, sir.
And who was in charge of the airport?
Yes, sir.
The king here last year. Huh? And he touched on who is the biggest and calling Sami name. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And look where Sami is suffering because we talk about who is Sami. I'm lawyer.
Yes, sir.
Hello, right? We talk about who is Sami lawyer.
Yes, sir.
Right? But Sami should be home by now.
Yes,
they
sir.
Want Sami come on.
No.
Because somebody got Sami money and Sami had to slap them down in the prison.
Yes.
And Sami can need that Sami money when Sami come home. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So when they talk about who was in charge of the airport, my cousin Clayton Fernando, then the commissioner of police, left office before at the end of last year.
Yes, sir.
Right? And now Ms. Knowles is in charge. Right?
Yeah.
The king here, over the drugs, what landed in Crooked Island in the middle of the night. Right?
Yes, sir.
The police officer who was in charge, and I need to call his name.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know what I mean? I done said before, he's still on the force.
Yes.
Who landed the plane in the night.
Okay.
It's understudy. The sergeant who he left in charge of the island is the one who's responsible for the load.
The sergeant he left in charge, this is what I tell him to call up.
Yeah, the sergeant he left in charge is the one with call would bust the load.
Yes.
He landed the load in the middle of the night. You know what I mean? And I just said that because he threatened me on the 18th of June, year before three months before the government changed hands.
Yeah, to speak, you know what? I mean? This is credible evidence you're listening to. So it's good to have the show.
Yeah, the people that were slotting the land, whatever they're planning on bringing in. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
On the other airport called Pittstown, where my property is, and I had vice boy put the fence across Kurdistan one way, and they couldn't go there, so they changed their plan. And 3 weeks after the government came to power, they landed their plane in the middle of the night.
You're listening, people?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. You see what I'm saying? So yes, when sir. You talk, would you say you use the common sense? Because when corruption carried on you, now, them fellas up in New York,
yes, sir.
You know, didn't they say that the investigation started from May 2021?
Yes. Yes, sir.
That was a month before I put the had the fence put across the runway.
Wow.
You cross the runway. So they changed. They had to change the location, whatever it might have been.
I ain't
in their business. Because of my instincts, they ain't going there. They going elsewhere. And whatever they do, but we had who was the Minister of Finance
in
the budget last year,
who
went to Parliament and approved $2.5 million
uh-huh.
to freaking say they're going to refurbish that same plane. And 5 months later, where's the plane?
In the United States.
Last year, the indictment came down, and those fellas are locked up in New York, right?
Yes, sir.
And your boy, Scoochie, like you tell him, he needed to, you know, open up his mind.
Yeah.
We'll see when they go to court on the 26th of October to see what else is going to be revealed.
Yes, sir.
You know, what's coming out of that.
Yes, sir.
Because people being in charge, I know. Some canaries singing up in New York, some people waiting, and they could, you know, and they say some politicians may in court,
yes,
and other fellas them may in charge. Man,
yes, sir.
Everybody just have their, they just have their challenges.
Yes,
they
sir.
They got to do, you know, we got to do, and they got to have the political will.
Yes, but sir.
They won't hold on the power. Some of them will hold on the power to continue to cover up whatever they friends, family, ponies, and things. Who owned them six catamaran park up in the marine over Paradise Island?
Oh, Lord.
For brand new boats and thing.
Oh, Lord. Yes, sir.
My boy called me today to tell me, you know what I mean? I said, yeah, we know who was who owned
oh,
them.
Oh, Lord.
But it coming out.
Yes,
you know
sir.
What I mean? Later. Y'all have a nice evening.
Thank you very much. That's credible evidence. This is a guy who has the property, put up the fence when all this stuff is going on. So you see, the areas are powerful. We don't know who you are, but he gave evidence. He gave the date and the time. So you see, corruption at the fullest. So Ms. Knowles has her hands full, and she's making the right decision. It's going to take time, but she's going in uncharted territory because she is going against some people who are being corrupted a long time on the force. And she's going to have to root them out, root the bad apples out. It's going to be tough. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on inside the inner city.
George.
Hey, good night.
Yeah, I listened to you saying that, you know, in reference with this recruitment drive for young people now to enter the construction field.
Yes, sir.
You know, you're saying now that the government is listening, you know, but elections.
I know. Go ahead, sir. Sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead. My bad.
I'm asking you elections next year.
Yes, sir.
You know, what was preventing the government from listening and doing these basic things that they're now doing from day one when they got in?
Good question. I think now that you say that.
You know,
It's election time and they're desperate and they're agreeing with Ida, that makes sense, but it might be too late. Go ahead.
Yeah, but then I'm not excited about this. And like many other Bahamians who's observing and watching what's happening, you know, it's more of a disrespect, you know.
It is. I understand where you're coming from.
You know, it's more of a disrespect. You know, it's like someone standing on your feet.
Yes.
And you are telling them, look, you're standing on my feet. But they continue on with a conversation,
yes,
and
sir.
Doing all the other things, and then after you really get frustrated,
yes,
or then they decide to move their feet. You know, we all know that these basic things, you know, when you're talking about allowing all of these foreign elements, allowing all these planes to be coming in from a country which is basically now a failed state, you know,
yes, sir,
it's a failed state, and now they decided now that they're going to act and start doing some things. Yeah. I mean, look, this back and front type governance that we've been experiencing, and it's becoming very, 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 very
clear.
I'm disrespectful.
Yes,
the older we get. Look at Donald Trump. Donald Trump promised a whole lot of things. When he came in, what did he start to do? Mm. He went to work from day one?
Yes, he went to work. He has done more for any president in the last, they say, last 10, 15 years.
And the, but then, no matter what, you see a government just got voted out for doing basically the same thing.
Yes,
you come in saying you're different and practicing the same old nonsense.
Yeah.
Where you're disrespecting the humans, flying all over the world, spending money with impunity, doing what you want to do now because an election is looming.
You hear the people now.
You're now trying to get busy now.
You're right, Carlo. You're right.
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. That's supposed to be mandatory. Your first year, like Donald Trump, your first year, you're supposed to put BTVI all about in the schools, start a small business, and et cetera. I understand everything you're saying. Minimum wage increase. You're right, sir. You're supposed to be cruising at this fourth year now.
Just rolling up their sleeves now and trying to get to work.
Let me just say this to you, Carla. I understand exactly what you're saying. You're completely correct. That's the problem with government. When you get elected as the government, you are no longer PLP and FNM. Leave that up to the people going in your trade for you. Deal with the things that the people need to deal with in the first year, like what you're saying. You know, don't do it in the fourth year when you feel that you're back against the wall and now you want to come with these plans that could have worked in your first year, but now you want to do it now. And you're right, it's disrespectful, sir. I agree with you. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah. And, over the last several weeks when the Contractors Association and the president, they were talking about... They were talking about this influx of foreign laborers. And I said, look, I called the president out. I said, y'all basically facilitate these things because these are things that y'all were supposed to address
from day one. Yes, sir.
When you talk about 5,000
work permit,
high school.
Yes.
This is what I was saying on radio, you know.
Yes.
This is what I was saying. I said, look, the government needs to move swiftly, aggressively,
yes,
deliberately, with a purpose of expanding on building another a BTVI,
yes,
go into the high schools,
yes,
and engage these people,
yes,
in technical skills.
Yes.
Now, a week later, I hear the prime minister talking about these things, what they intend to do.
Yes, sir. Because it makes sense. What you and I have been saying makes sense. It makes sense.
What's the money? How much money you think would have left the Bahamas?
Boy, listen to me.
Over the last several years. Over the last 20 years.
Last 20 years?
The money isn't circulating in the inner city. The money isn't circulating in these communities.
You talking about...
They allow everything to be infiltrated. You go by fish fry, what do you see? That ain't behind you, Dale?
No.
That's supposed to be a Bahamian delicacy, and they're not policing it properly because no way I'm supposed to be a tourist going out to an iconic place like the fish fry, which is supposed to be Bahamian. What foreign food you supposed to be eating out there?
Fried fish.
It shouldn't happen.
I mean, are you supposed to be eating?
The Ministry of Agriculture is supposed to be policing it.
Yes, sir, you're
right.
To
make sure that authentic Bahamian food so the tourists could get a Bahamian experience.
Yes. Don't kill the culture.
You know?
The Kong salad and all that stuff they talk about.
Nonsense.
Whatever. But
look.
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
A tourist ever asks you, Scrooge, because you deal with a lot of tourists. A tourist ever asks you, where can they find a good Bahamian restaurant?
Yes, they always do.
And what do you do?
The only thing I can...
For me, personally, I normally tell them, I got to the point where I say, you know what? I start selling them to chefs because I think nothing off of Bahamian. I mean, one time ago, you could think about the show.
Yeah, the show and all that stuff. No place you could send them now.
But they ask me now, let them ask you, where can they find a Chinese restaurant?
Anywhere now, sir.
Or a Haitian restaurant.
Anywhere now, sir.
Or a Jamaican restaurant.
Anywhere now, sir.
But a Bohemian?
Real,
very rare, and the people who cook in the Bahamian food, they ain't really Bahamian food. It may look like
Bahamian food.
But it ain't really Bahamian. You can taste the difference. You a Bahamian. You know the difference.
You're right, sir. You're right.
You know, but
you're right.
We have allowed this country to really deteriorate. You know, when we reach, I'm not knocking the persons or the agitators for this 242 day, right? Where they celebrating everything Bahamian. But how can you celebrate yourself, Bruce?
Yeah.
Shouldn't every day in the Bahamas be a 242 day?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Every single day.
Yeah.
Bahamas. Hmm. And we should be able to access anything to him in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
But even that is becoming extinct.
Yeah.
You know, we have a long way to go. We really scourge, to be honest, straight up. I mean, me looking at this thing. We have deteriorated over the last 60 years.
Yep.
And, you know, we were saying that the white minority do need to run the country. It's time for the black to run the country.
The blacks run.
What has happened over the last 2 years?
All we've been running it, the blacks been running it. And boy, listen, all we're doing is just destroying us as blacks.
One time ago, you could have walked from Yonge Street to Bay Street without having to die at any hour of the night.
No, you can't walk one corner.
You know, we had more crown land. We had more land in the Bahamas. I mean, I always say this, you know, the black, our black leaders have given away more crown land and issue more citizenship in the last 52 years than what our colonial masters did in 300 years. Would you agree with that?
I agree with you. We see it. We see people who don't even speak English, God, get them in passport. We see
it. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
And residency.
It's embarrassing right now.
Yes.
When you look at how our country has deteriorated over the last 6 years. I mean, we are doing over 100 murders on a daily basis.
I know, and inside.
I mean, on an annual basis, as politicians celebrate, would you imagine politicians celebrating when we do under 100 murders? In a particular in a calendar year.
Yeah.
Then the world standard is 5 murders, you know, Spooch. 5 murders per 100,000.
So we are conflict zone. We are
so the now worst case we're supposed to be doing around 20.
Right. So we're in 25. A conflict zone. So that means we're in a conflict zone. We have a health problem in the country.
But they celebrating. And they saying that we have accomplished much.
Well, it's because they themselves, you know, us being blinded by greed. And stupidity, and ain't looking at all of our children are suffering because their children is going to be on the ground. Everyone's children in Nassau is going to be on the ground in this country.
The sad reality is, only people who are killing up one another are people who look like me and you.
Of course, not the white people. Eh? Even when we talk about the Haitian community, what are they doing? We look at the last set of names in the papers, the Haitian killing Haitian, because why themselves are being devalued and et cetera. So, it's like you say, it's all across the board. Thank you for calling. We got one more caller? Let's take this last call and I'm going to continue the conversation. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio. Caller, you did a wonderful job. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Good night to you.
Good evening. I'm not hearing you loudly, but I just want to say thank you there.
This teacher?
Yes, sir. Yes,
hey, what's up, teacher? You've been missing an action last two months.
I actually, when I thought about calling, it was about one thing. Initially, when you mentioned about the indictment and the persons who lose their jobs, whoever changed, whether the command and the commander, you know, the defense force and the police commissioner and things like that, the changes.
Yes, sir.
I'm not so sure per se that those leaders were actually involved in the corruption act. But since perhaps they were in charge of those different departments, some head perhaps had to roll.
Yes, yes.
But if you were to take it to the extension and be a devil's advocate, then the ministers, national security should go, the prime minister should go, and so on and so forth.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't dwell much on that because some serious other matters came up with some other callers that had some facts and some more information.
Yes, the one especially about the airport.
So that's my initial contribution. Yes. I also want to congratulate Guardian Radio for featuring Inside the Inner City on their website, because you see, I'm a person who like to see fair play.
Yes, sir.
And I noted that all of their programs were on the website, and I wasn't seeing my good friend Mr. Valentino Brown on the site.
Yes,
and now I can see you on the site. So now I put it on my website.
Thank you. Okay.
I can promote Guardian Radio because Guardian Radio is totally fair, looking out for the day program and the evening program.
Okay, excellent.
And last but not least, I want to encourage us Bahamians especially those of us with young men, with sons, to encourage our sons to cut our lawn. If we have a yard, then we shouldn't be having to hire someone to cut our lawn.
Yes.
I have a friend, my neighbor, who is a manager, and he cuts his own lawn. And I have some other neighbors who have their young son growing up, young adults, and they won't cut their lawn. So we have to get learn to get active in work and see that all work is honorable. Okay? And I said last but not least, but I also want to commend the many persons who go to church and uphold the law of the Bahamas and have a good name so that the bad apples, whether in the force or in the citizenship, in the country at large, do not give the good people a total bad name.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, teacher. And to all the callers, you guys did a wonderful job, you know. And a caller who called, who talked, but he put
his
sense.
Yeah, my phone is low. I don't know why, but I hope you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you very clearly, teacher. Thank you very much. And to the caller who called, who gave us that credible evidence, because he liberated, he talked about his fence, he talked about the situation. It shows you that, you know, people really want to express themselves. And I'm glad that a show like Inside the Inner City that God didn't allow me to have for people to call in and talk about their experiences, talk about their story, you know, and that's what we do on Inside the Inner City. We want to hear from you guys. Okay, we can play the last clip. Yeah, the last one. Let's see what the last one is. Maybe one more. Okay, 1 second. Caller, you give me a minute. Let me just see if I get this clip out, if I'm correct. Yeah. He's trying to find it. Yeah, I know. Carlos did a wonderful job. You can find it? Okay.
Police are actively exploring the use of non-lethal weapons as part of their arsenal, a move Commissioner Chantanon says is critical as the force works to balance public safety with accountability. She stressed that officers must fully understand the importance of using justifiable force in the line of duty. It comes in the wake of a recent ruling in the coroner's court, which resulted in a police officer being taken into custody for the shooting death of 27-year-old Dino Bain. Bain was fatally shot in December 2023 during a police operation on Dean Street.
We know that matters go before the coroner's court so that they can determine whether or not we were justified in using force. This is a matter that now moves to another location. I don't believe that it's going to negatively affect the police force. I believe what it will do now is cause us to understand the importance of justifiable force and harm, for us to change our mindset, our thinking when dealing with those people we meet in our communities, so that we can have a second look. And sometimes a second look could be very dangerous for an officer. But of course, that we can have a second look at a situation before we make some action.
Commissioner Knoll says she plans to present her proposal for non-lethal weapons to Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe.
It also calls us now to look at probably finding ways that we can have non-lethal weapons a part of our arsenal. That is something I'm looking at. I do know that I've started the process already, and I will be speaking with our minister a little further on about that.
She underscored it is vital that officers do not abuse their power.
Again, there are times when you cannot take a second look because it's between your life and someone else's life. We will not encourage officers to abuse their power, but we encourage them to understand the justifiable force and harm policy, read up on it, and continue to work with the Royal Bahamas Police Force as we create safer communities.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonnie Tude.
Call us coming right now. I want to really go through this real quick. It's 7:47. We have 13 more minutes, so I'm going to try to get this over in 2 minutes, and I'm going to let you guys catch your last say. We heard the commissioner talking about second look. Second look means that sometimes, you know, the police might see someone who acting in a suspicious manner, and, you know, the police would actually, before they survey the situation, they would normally yuck their firearms and use it in excessive force based on the wild nature of the Bahamas with 100 murders. So you understand the situation, but at the same time, you're a professional. You're supposed to be trained for this. You just can't yuck your gun and then shoot for you and ask questions later. So she's saying that you're going to take a second look means that they're going to look at the individual or the suspect
And if they're not drawing their gun and pointing the direction of the officers will use a non-lethal force of either a baton that shucks or the stun gun that we see in America. So they're going to do a lot of deliberation on what she's going to introduce to the Minister of National Security as a second nature instead of using lethal force, because, you know, our police trained shoot to kill, and they're not trained with de-escalating. So this is a step in the right direction based on the number of murder by manslaughter of our officers of the Royal Bahamas Police Force who got this conviction from the Coroner's Court, which is not a criminal court. Now, it's passed on to the AG, and the AG is probably going to decide if this is going to be a criminal matter. But based on these latest coroner's ruling, it shows you that a lot of police officers out there were taking lives of innocent people and planting evidence. And this is something that we've been saying from all along, and we hope that we're heading in the right direction. The commissioner, Ms. Knowles, who I think, I tell you, she's doing some drastic moves. These are uncharted territory for her. She's going to have to break a lot of protocol. She's going to have to break a lot of friendship. She's going to have to break a lot of maternity in order to get this country forward. I think that she is a strong officer, and she's doing a tremendous job. I just want her to keep focus and understand that some of the things that the Royal Bahamas Police Force was accustomed to, they're going to have to break that now in order for us to carry us in the 21st century, in order to have a better Bahamas. You understand? I think that's our best option. So I think she's doing a good job. But I tell you again, we have to keep up on it. We have to keep on up on it, because we have officers now, based on these things she's doing, they are complaining that say they don't like what's going on of them going before the coroner's court, because now they're not protected no more. But that's because of you guys overdid it. You guys took corruption to the next level. Blame Curtis, blame Johnson, blame all those inspectors who got locked up on the Farmy Island when it was what they was in charge of, dealing with illegal narcotics and firearm, and supposed to be police officers. Blame them. You officers need to be blame them. Blame your former or senior officers who were on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, who were doing illegal activity and using the Royal Bahamas Police Force at their disposal for their self-gain. For all the decent officers out there, this broadcast is not for you. I think that you guys truly deserve whatever position you all get based on your merit, whether you're PLP or FNM. And I believe that some of y'all who are officers who really are dedicated to the Royal Bahamas Police Force want to do your job diligently, has been denied access to promotion because you're not PLP or you're not FNM, or if you're not like, you are demoted. And we put people in place on the Royal Bahamas Police Force who don't deserve to hold this position over our officers, who know exactly what they need to do in order to curb crime and to run their respective division. But because of political interference, we have a lot of officers who they believe they are entitled to, and they deny our officers the opportunity to promote them so that they could be in charge of certain division in the country. We're going to take these last two calls. Go ahead, call us. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Yeah, good evening, Scoozy.
Good evening to you.
Yeah, honestly, very simple. I like the conversations, right? You know, I have all the inputs from the various people, but I had to make a little dash. But what hurts me is a second look, right? You take a second look at, I was just going off what you said, and I'm going to piggyback off that. Just take a second look at all the other dubious incidents, right?
Yes.
And the injustices, right? And so, whilst they might run that tape saying officers are, no one is above the law, really and truly, they have mechanisms in which they could really be beyond the law by
the
wall of silence.
It was there. It was there.
The road, right?
It was there.
There's no way you could tell me, Scoozy, that if you have never been spotted, you know, like back in the days, you know, we keep the officers stumbled or something, or wait.
Yes.
I watched, like, for instance, when they shot at me in 2007 as a false suspect, and finally I only had a couple of joints of weed on me. One officer jumped out of the vehicle, right, because he dug them. They threw me down the rain and almost tried to draw me in the water. Gun butt me to pieces. But the rest of them was there. My head bleeding and had me handcuffed.
They didn't tell him stop.
Station, and they won't let me go in the rain bleeding. So the officer said, no, you can't put them on. You ain't going to put him in the cell. Everybody bleeding, blood coming down my face. So they let me go. So what I'm saying is, if something went wrong, you think they would... You got a gun butt in my head for not ready handcuffed.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is, Scoozy, we deserve a better police force. And then you, from years ago, when you go up in the city, when you was talking about the affiliation with one another from high school. So you're really trying to tell me now I must be naive to believe or conceive that officers are not affiliated with one or two gang members.
What's your man? That's concrete.
So, you know, I'm not, I mean, you know, the commissioner, I don't know her personally, but, you know, I'm too old to really, I hope she is there for the change, but, you know, like, it's like the mange. It's hard to really change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She being a part of it.
It's just a psychological operation.
She watch abuse. Let me just say this. She watch abuse while she was there. She could never say she was.
Of course, she was in the station.
You know how we do one another in the station. Let me ask you a question. How we do behemoths in the station, whether you're the police and you're civilian, what do we do to one another? Either the civilian talk about the police and the police can be the civilian, or sometimes the civilian will be the police. But we have this war going on where we don't respect one another inside the station. These goals are
on the station. Yeah, and then what happened is, like I told an officer one time, you don't have the right to open the cell and bother with me. You see what I'm saying? And then, well, of course, you know, you got to use the bathroom and nature call. You got to call them for stations like Quaco Street, the Grove, and all those stations that are much older. They don't have that facilitation, which in itself dehumanizing and inhumane, Scoochie. Scoochie, you get what I'm saying? You shouldn't have to ask to use the bathroom. So let's look at, somebody's talking about the situation with the gangs, et cetera. You know, I was like, the gangs are breaking up now, so you'll see more violence.
Yes.
If they break out in war against each other. I live in the Gulf, so I have a little idea what's going
yes.
on.
Yes. Yeah,
I grew up a lot of little young cats, but I don't want to, you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
But even the little youth stump, as I send condolences to the sister, right? I don't even know them, but, you know, it's like, you see the surnames, right?
Yes, sir.
And they what happened is social media, the anti-social media, in which they use them, they talk about what they do, and And so I don't know what kind of fame they're looking for, right? But what happens is, you see the repercussions, Scoochie.
Yes.
Sometimes I can't even say on the air, but like, they glorify this BS, right? This tit for tat. And the gangs have gotten so strong and so influential in all kind of bad ways. They'll really and truly, BMB was crying wolf for a while as it relates to this gang problem, right? Bohemians and Haitians, Bohemians together. Me and you grew up in the inner city. We know some of our boys was Haitian Bohemians, right? So it's no different now, Scoochie. It's just that they have taken it to another level. You see the type of weapons they use in Scoochie?
AR-15? Gang what?
Thanks.
57, 60. You know, okay.
Just keep up the good work, man.
Thank you, man. You know? Yeah, 52.
Yeah, man. Respect,
yeah. Yeah, man. I just like to say, again, big up my boy Elroy and my good friend Omar. And like I say, he has a paint company on Wolf Road. And they're tuning in, so I'd like to give a shout out to good guys, you know, who tune into the show. And we'd like to have this conversation again. You know, again, to Commissioner. Shanta Knowles, like I say, a hands full. If you ask me if she ever seen any corruption in the station, yes, she was there because she'd be in office all those years. I know she watched a lot of people get beat bad in the station. Maybe she beat some people bad herself. You know, sometimes, like, you know, some officers beating some officers and they wouldn't say nothing. They are good officers on the force, but then, you know, you can't talk onto your fellow officers. You know, but we need to change that because we all behemoths and we're making some of these guys tough in the country. And then, it gets so rough and tough with the corruption. You see how the corruption spread on the Royal Bahamas Police Force when you look, senior officer charged at the airport, senior officer charging the airport, next officer charging the airport, who under this officer, and all dealing with illegal activities. And then we look at the murder by manslaughter by former officers, and that could be anywhere from 13 to 15 in the last 3 or 4 years, and they are being found, not criminal liability, but found guilty by the coroner's court. And now the AG has to decide if they're going to prosecute them. So something has to be wrong with the Royal Bahamas Police Force. That means when they did the investigation, the coroner say that based on the evidence, that something ain't right. And that's what is happening to a lot of these cases. That means there was a lot of murders being covered up by the force. So Shanta knows she got her hands full. You know, I think we're heading in the right direction. I think we're heading in the right direction. We're seeing progress, but like I say, she's in uncharted territory. And the decision she makes, she's going to offend a lot. You know, she's going to offend a lot. You're seeing it. You're seeing where the report states that in the newspaper or on Facebook states that some officers were disturbed by the fact that they're being put before the coroner's court and now could be held liable for criminal charges and could be fired from the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So the immunity they once had is now gone. But it has not gone nowhere. If you're a decent officer and you're not doing nothing illegally, you are protected naturally. But if you're doing things illegally that is affecting the Bahamian people, involving drugs and extortion and beating people in the station and treating people badly. We have a police officer who took a footage of a lady who was asking him to use the bathroom of tourists. And she ended up defecating inside the station. He recorded this when the commissioner states and the police guidelines state that there shouldn't be no recording inside of the police station. It goes to show you that there's no respect for even the commissioner of police. They're not even following protocol because this has put a stain on us now that we have a tourist, a female, who asking to use the bathroom. Could you imagine? She's a tourist. Now, she could be in acting disorderly and the police treated that way. But they ain't supposed to be talking to nobody in that type of manner because you're done in custody. Imagine your brother, your sister, your mom, or your daddy in custody in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. That footage is just to show you what was going on. How many Bahamians go in the station and get treated badly by their own brothers and sisters? We talk about the whites. The whites don't run the station. The whites ain't the sergeant. The whites ain't the constable. The wife ain't the inspector. Look what goes on our station. I been locked up over 1,000 times. And if I wasn't a rough and tough guy and respectful, now there's some decent officers who I had who protected me now. Don't get me wrong. Who are decent, honorable officers. I'm not talking about those guys, but we had some who took advantage of so many people. And I, like I tell you, I been locked up over 1,000 times. Some of the most serious set of cases in Nassau are being held in custody for. Some of the most dangerous set of criminals you can name in the country are hanging with and hanging around me, okay? And the torture of seeing going in the police station, where I've seen what officers do to at-risk young youths in the station, where officers who owe the rank can't say nothing. You know, because if they say something, they'd get reprimanded. And we have to change that in the country. We have to change that. And Miss Noah, she been there. I don't say she, but she been there. Because if she been in the force over 20-something years, she watched the abuse going on in the station. Sometimes it's warranted, you know, because we have a lot of guys who are really hardened. Don't have no respect for the officers, you know. So I respect the officers of the ARC in that type of manner. But we have some who are stink, rude, and disrespectful and should not be on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. You understand? So officers should go through screening. Just the same way she's talking about widening a second option instead of using lethal shooting first and ask question later. So they're saying now they want to bring the stunner, train officers on how to de-escalate the situation. All right. And I got one more message before I go. Scrooge, I forgot today that the body cam should be first and second lock the defensive force sexual cases. Yeah. So like I said, I'm your host, Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. And like I said, I give government credit. We're building a new BTVI. I also give them credit for the initiative of paying those who attend BTVI with sniping. That means the kids now can come to classes and they can go home with the sniping. I hope it's $150, $200 or probably even more so that they could be comfortable because they're at risk. They could buy their food now. They could get a gift certificate and super value. And some other stuff that the government can provide, which is our own taxpayers' money. And this could keep them coming. And then the government saying that some of those contracts they have to these government departments, they could also give to these guys who are fully trained because of the Contractors Association. And with the booming construction industry, they're looking for skilled workers. And we don't have so many skilled workers, so we established a lot of skilled workers in the country. We can start to trickle down. So I want to give the government a thumbs up. And we recommend that on Inside the Inner City about paying and creating new BTVI, not only by government, but we need it in the inner city as well. So I want to give a shout out again to my friend Elroy Bryce and Omar. And I see you guys, all the callers, you guys were real stars today. You and especially the one in the family, and who talked about the incident about him putting up his fence to stop the drug transaction across from his yard, to show you that people care about the country and they're exposing the corruption that goes on in this country. So I want to say to that Pacific caller, thank you very much. I really appreciate you. And as a country, we appreciate what you did. It took a lot of guts to say what you said, because you witnessed it with your own eye, and to verify that everything is connected. And look at the bigger picture. Thank you, everyone. And I see you next week, Gospel Life, on Inside the Inner City. Give a special request to my producer, Chris, and to all the Guardian Radio's talk shows. See you next week.
Being time, I say up and running.